Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
City on a Hill radio show. I'm Barbara Moore. I'm going to be joined today by a high school senior, and his name is Hunter Mills. He is currently homeschooling his senior year. He's been homeschooling since the 10th grade, and he was a speaker last week in Montgomery, Alabama, at the hearing on the repeal of Common Core Standards. It was a joint hearing between the Senate and the House, and Hunter was one of the speakers, and he spoke against the Common Core Standards and for the repeal of them. I'm very delighted that he's going to be with us today, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Common Core Standards. We'll talk about education all sorts of things regarding education as well. I'd like to begin with a quote by one of our great founding fathers, Dr. Benjamin Rush. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He was a physician, a renowned physician, who trained about 3,000 doctors in our early years. And he trained them to give medical care to all people, the poor as well as the rich. And he said, take care of the poor. God will repay you for what you, how you attend them and take care of them. And so that was the beginning of the practice of medicine in our country with Dr. Benjamin Rush. He also helped found several universities, and he brought about the reconciliation between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams in their latter years. So Dr. Benjamin Rush wrote a lot about education and taught extensively in our founding era. And he said that the only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in biblical Christianity. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all Republican governments. He added, a Christian cannot fail of being useful to the Republic For his religion teaches him that no man lives to himself. I'll fast forward into a little bit further on in history and share with you a quote by Teddy Roosevelt. To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Father, we see in your word that you would have us, Lord, to be knowledgeable, to have wisdom, to have understanding. And you tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Father, I pray that our people here in this nation and throughout the world will return to you, O God, that we will turn our hearts back to you, Father, not with lip service, but with our whole heart, our minds, our strength. For in you is all that is good and all that is good for us, Lord. Without you, we are nothing and we have nothing of value. Everything is in vain if it is apart from you, O God. So turn us back to you, Father. Help us, Lord, to turn away from our wicked ways, to turn back to you, to seek your face. And, Father, that you will hear from heaven and will forgive our sins and will heal our land, Father. We pray it. We add, Father, we just join with many, many others throughout this nation and throughout the world who are praying, Father, for this very thing, to be with you, Father, that you would once again be preeminent in our nation. Your word tells us, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, that you would be our Lord, Father, that we would keep our covenant with you, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Hunter, I want to welcome you. And I'd like for us to begin by telling us how you ended up on the floor of the House of Representatives last week speaking in the hearing.
All right. Well, it's not too long of a story. I had been down at the State House, and I knew that this issue had come up, but I didn't know much about it, so I dug deeper to find out what was going on and what the bill said and what all was being done. And so I did that, and I studied it and learned what Common Core was and how it was going to affect public schools, how it was going to affect private schools and homeschools. And then so I heard about the hearing, and I just went down to the State House and signed a piece of paper and went to the floor and sat down. That's how I got there.
Well, that sounds very, very simple. It sounds like the Lord directed your steps, for sure, for it to be that simple. I heard you speak, and you spoke with passion and clarity. Your concern for all Alabama students, public, private, and homeschoolers. And you've actually been in all three types of education, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Well, tell us a little bit about your education thus far.
All right. Well, I started off in kindergarten, and I went through seventh grade in a private school. It's called Alabama Christian Academy. It's here in Montgomery. And then I decided to leave my seventh grade year. And so my eighth grade year, I attended Baldwin Magnet Middle School. And then after that, I went to Brubaker Technology Magnet High School my ninth grade year. And 10th grade is when I started homeschooling.
Okay. Well, do you think your K through seventh grade education at Alabama Christian Academy, do you think from what you've seen in the magnet school and the technology school and now in homeschool, do you think that you were well prepared at the private Christian Academy?
Yeah, for a kindergarten through seventh grade education, yes, I feel like I was prepared.
And I suppose that in that Christian education. Most students do Bible, are taught the Bible, and even memorize a great deal of Scripture and how to apply it to your life. And I assume that you had that as well.
Yes, we did. My sixth and seventh grade year is when we actually had a whole class dedicated to Bible, because in the way it worked there was you stayed in one classroom first through fourth grade. Fifth grade, you had three different classes, and sixth and seventh, you had seven different classes. And so sixth and seventh grade, we had a Bible class.
Okay. You know, I think, Hunter, as you get older, you'll see how important that was. Even, you know, more and more you'll see the importance of that. But now tell me, when you got to the eighth grade magnet, what were your impressions and what did you come away with from there?
Well, I loved my eighth grade year. It was my favorite school year of my entire elementary, middle, and high school career. And the reason being was because Baldwin, it's arts and academics, but I was on the arts track, so I got to participate in show choir and in the symphonic band. And so that was a huge part, was the arts that I just loved. But I didn't have one bad teacher at Baldwin. They were all incredible teachers. I learned more than I ever did, so it was a great year.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's very good to hear. I live in Dothan, and we have some magnet schools here. In fact, my two youngest grandsons are in a magnet school, and I am well pleased with the pace at which they're learning. It's an accelerated pace, and just a tremendous amount of reading, and also the patriotic projects that they've been a part of have been very, very, very good. So I am well pleased. My only concern with any of the public schools is that the Christian worldview is not incorporated into it. And I think that that's absolutely necessary to have a Christian worldview. And, you know, the time that children are in school, you know, it doesn't leave much time after that to really inculcate that into their lives if it's not done through every subject as it's done in Christian school. So that's my big concern there. And I know the importance of having a Christian worldview. Okay, well, what about your ninth grade with the technology school?
That was an interesting year. Most of my teachers were good. I learned a lot, but there were a few who could have been better. I didn't really learn much at all in their class. But I love the people at Brew Tech. I made great friends there, but education-wise, it could be a whole lot better.
Okay. Now, is that why your parents chose to go with the homeschool route from there?
Yes, it is.
How did that come about? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you're a senior now, so you've been in homeschool 10th, 11th, and 12th. What are your impressions of that? What do you think about that?
If you can homeschool your child, you need to do it. I mean, it's perfect. I get plenty. I mean, I learn more in homeschool than I ever did in public or private school. But at the same time, I had the freedom to do things like go speak at that public hearing down at the State House. If I had been in school, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And so education's great, and having the freedom to do other things, that's great. And you know, I'm not one of the homeschoolers that's stuck in the house all day. I go to my science class. I go to a program called LIFT. It's Learning Institute for Teens. It is at Vaughn Forest Baptist Church. And so I get interaction with plenty of people my age. And so It's been absolutely perfect. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Oh, that's good. Well, I homeschooled our youngest son, kindergarten through seventh grade, and wish I had continued beyond that, but I would not take anything for it. As a parent and teacher, I would not take anything for that time. Just the as you said, the freedom and the opportunity to just go in one direction and learn as much as you can in that direction and not be confined and restricted. There's just so much freedom to learn in the homeschool environment, and also the relationship in the family. It strengthens the family relationships tremendously. And I think also the influence of the authority of parents is strengthened as well, particularly in the younger grades, but I'm sure it's there in the older grades as well. But well, let's talk a little bit about Common Core standards and your concerns about them as you studied this subject. You heard about it. You began studying it to find out what the Common Core curriculum was, so what were some of your concerns about Common Core curriculum?
Well, as you know, the Common Core, they don't specifically apply to private or homeschools. However, homeschoolers and the Homeschool Legal Defense Association have serious concerns with the rush to adopt the Common Core standards, because the Homeschool Legal Defense Association has fought national education standards for probably the past two decades. And they do that because national standards lead to national curriculum and national tests and subsequent pressure on homeschool students to be taught from the same curriculum. And so that's part of it. Second, the College Board, who created the PSAT and the SAT, they have already indicated that the SAT, which is the Signature College Entrance Exam, will be aligned with Common Core. And homeschoolers are worried that colleges and universities may look with disapproval at homeschool graduates who apply for admission if their high school transcripts are not aligned with Common Core. And I've got a little article here from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. It says, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association believes that a one-size-fits-all approach to education crowds out other educational options, including the freedom of parents to choose homeschools and private schools. A common curriculum and tests based off of those common standards could be very harmful to homeschoolers if the college of their choice refuses to accept a student's high school transcript if it is not based on Common Core. Homeschoolers could also have trouble on the SAT if the test is fundamentally altered to reflect only one specific curriculum. And our greatest worry is that if the Common Core is fully adopted by all states, policymakers down the road will attempt to change state legislation to require all students, including homeschool and private school students, to be taught and tested according to the Common Core. So that's the biggest part to me.
Well, you know, in looking at national standards, national curriculum, national assessment, in also if they're tested just according to those, which they will be, they have to be aligned. There's no mistaking that. They have to be aligned with Common Core standards, the SATs and so forth. We can look at the Obama administration, and we can see where that curriculum is going to be headed. I mean, you know, the values that they espouse, whether it's Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, you know, with his radical ideas, and they are out of the mainstream. They are radical ideas. He was one involved in starting the first day school in Chicago, We know that that he said that this is a revolution, that Common Core is a revolution, and in education, and that you know, it will finally bring about social justice. You know, we know that the Obama administration used part of the stimulus money to fund and purchase booklets, United Nations booklets, for every school district in the United States, where the United Nations booklets teach about social justice, according to them, and redistribution of the wealth, and how private property is a hindrance to bringing about social justice, and, you know, all about the United Nations values, what they espouse. So we see that. We see where the Environmental Protection Agency is like a it's almost like a fourth branch of government. The power that it has attained under the Obama administration, and you know, we see that that will be taught in the national curriculum at an accelerated pace. You know, and just all of this, and I mean, this is what we see. You know, Hunter, in addition to that, I was looking at the connection between President Obama's the person who was his transition director when he became president. Her name was Linda Darling Hammond, and she was his transition team director in January of 2009. And she's the one that started, she's one of the founders of C-Scope, which is causing such an uproar in Texas. Are you familiar with C-Scope?
I'm not too familiar. I've heard of it, but I don't know what it entails.
Well, what they, in Texas tried to, well, they did not sign on to Common Core standards. They were one of the few states that didn't apply for the Race to the Top money, and they did not make the application for Common Core standards, which, by the way, every state made the application for this without knowing what the standards were. The standards came later. So it was really a shot in the dark for every state. But Texas declined to do so, and Texas was in the midst of rewriting their standards when, under the radar screen, this C-Scope online curriculum emerged, which 70% of the Texas schools became involved in. And when it became known about what was being taught by the C-Scope curriculum, things such as they were teaching that the Boston Tea Party patriots were terrorists. That was one of the shocking bits of information that came out. They were teaching, instead of teaching world religions as what was listed, they crossed everything out except Islam. They were teaching that Allah is Almighty God. And even in some of the schools, they were dressing the little girls in burqas. And so this all became known, and there is a huge uproar in Texas, and they're going to try to get out from under this C-Scope curriculum now. But Linda Darling Hammond, who served as education director for Barack Obama and his transition team, she is listed as one of the founders of C-Scope. She also speaks at their conferences, at C-Scope conferences, so she is totally involved. Well, she was put in charge of Common Core standards. She's in charge of the content for Common Core. She's in charge of developing the Common Core testing, and she was given $176 million of our taxpayer money to do all this. So So she is, you know, this is Obama's baby. This is his centerpiece of education, his masterpiece in education, the Common Core is. And the Linda Darling Hammond said that, well, she published an article in the Harvard Review that said President Obama's, this is his opportunity to transform our nation's schools. And she said regarding Common Core that Barack Obama has outlined a set of ambitious plans to transform American education on a scale not seen since the days of the Great Society. So, you know, we can clearly see what Common Core is all about. And we can also see that there are something like 14 states that are working really hard right now to try to get out of Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard anything about Georgia?
I've heard what they've been doing, but I have not heard in the last maybe 2 or 3 days what's going on.
Well, I don't know how far along they've gotten. I saw a video of a press conference that was held over in Atlanta, I think. And I know that there are those who are working to get Georgia's Common Core curriculum repealed by their legislature. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is the school boards are the ones that approve or disapprove this. And as you know, Hunter, our school board approved it not just once but twice. The first was mm-hmm. with Bob Riley as governor, and he was all for it. And everyone else on the board was voted for it except Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell. The second time it was voted for, Betty Peters, Stephanie Bell, and Governor Bentley voted against Common Core. So, you know, it looks like the only recourse that we have at this point is to get it repealed through the legislature and for them to defund it. Because, you know, the schools don't have any money if the legislature doesn't allocate for it. So mm-hmm. the legislature has the power, and that's, you know, that's what we were doing last Wednesday there in the House of Representatives. By the way, I mentioned this, that there were so many people there on Wednesday at the hearing that the meeting had to be moved from the Star Wars chamber on the 8th floor to the larger chamber of the House of Representatives. And, of mm-hmm. course, that's where I heard you speak. What did you? What were your impressions of that hearing, Hunter, and some of the things that were said and some of the people that spoke?
Well, I tell you, I think that we, the people who were supporters of the bill but against Common Core, I think we were absolutely thrown under the bus because we were not – the time limits that we were given to speak, they weren't fair. They gave Tommy Bice what – correct me if I'm wrong – 10.5 minutes, I think. And then who else spoke from the school board who spoke a long time?
Joe Morton, the former state superintendent, spoke quite a while.
Yeah, he did. But anyway.
Yeah.
But so they got all that time in the world to explain to everyone why Common Core was so delightful and wonderful and why Alabama should have it. But then the people who were against it, we didn't get 2 minutes to speak.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
I mean, that's hardly enough time to say what we need to say.
Well, you're absolutely right. And there were those that timed it. Those who were for Common Core and against the repeal of Common Core in this bill, they got 58 minutes to 22 minutes. Our side got 22 minutes. But that 58 minutes that was given to the Common Core people, that did not include the questions that they were asked and the answers, the time that they were given to respond to those questions by the chairman of the hearing. And in addition to that, our side was not given any questions, which our side would have loved to have had questions.
We would have.
You know, the speakers such as Betty Peters, and there was a teacher from Georgia, and there were others, a lady who was a Harvard-trained lawyer who had come over from Georgia to speak. They ran out of time. I know others did as well, but, you know, everyone speaking for our side did not have enough time, and yet the other side was given over twice the amount, I would say over three times the amount of time that we were given. In addition to that, Hunter, when we got there, we were told that each side was going to be given 30 minutes, so that
correct.
Each side needed to select five or six people at the most, and that they would have, 5 minutes or so to speak, each one. And so it was planned accordingly. And so when these people who were speaking on our behalf started in, they were cut off. They were absolutely cut off before they could even really get to the heart of what they wanted to say.
When that hearing first started, and Senator Brubaker said that everyone was going to have 5 minutes to speak, well, the lady who was keeping the time, she was in my line of view, and I saw her, and when that 5 minutes was up, she put up her card that said time was up, but Dick waved her down and said, let them keep speaking. So, and which is interesting, because he's the sponsor of the bill, right?
Yeah, Dick Brubaker was,
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes no sense for the sponsor of that bill to let the opposing side have so much more time than us, because everyone who was for the repeal of Common Core, he cut off, but he did not cut off Tommy Bice or anyone.
Well, you know, I didn't really pick up on that. I'm glad you said that, Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
We were confined to the gallery upstairs because we didn't sign up to speak. We would have signed up to speak had we known that it was optional.
Mm-hmm.
We did not know, but that's not what we were told.
It was kept a secret.
It was kept a secret. It was kept a secret, but for only one side, our side.
Mm-hmm.
It was kept a secret from us. And so when we came out of there, one person said we were ambushed. Others said things like sabotaged, and it was such a terrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as you said, Dick Brubaker was a sponsor of the bill in the Senate, and Mary Sue McClurkin was a sponsor in the House. So, and yet, they were so lopsided in what they allowed the other side to just control the meeting, Did you notice, Hunter, that basically they kept saying the same thing over and over again, the different superintendents and the different teachers, and did you notice anything like that?
Yeah, I did, and I think Mary Sue McClurkin picked up on that, because Dick, I don't know if you noticed, but when it came down to it, did you notice that Dick left the meeting early?
Yes.
Well, right after he left, she said she made the statement, does anyone have anything to say that has not already been said? And
yeah.
So I think most people picked up on that.
Well, I do too. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but, you know, as something that, and you referred to Superintendent of Education Tommy Bice, he outlined, I believe, five different statements. And one of those statements was that data would not be kept. Personal data would not be kept on the students, invading their privacy, and would not be following them and so forth. And that is just totally false.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we found that out in various ways. Well, we knew it beforehand. We knew that this is very much a part of Common Core standards. And but there are different places and that the education people that in the state are actually, I wouldn't say bragging about it, but promoting this as one of the benefits of Common Core, that they're using this personal information, and it will follow every student, and that they'll be able to keep up with every student through all this and through all the years and so forth. So, you know, and that was a big part of what Superintendent Tommy Bice was talking about when he was speaking in the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably take every point that they made, and as someone made a comment about one of the teachers, her whole promotion of it was that she had a math student. You may remember her, that she had a math student that wanted to go on and study higher math. Well, I would hope that would happen all the time. You know, I mean, this is what teachers do. They inspire and instruct, you know, and the instruction should be inspiring others to reach for the stars, you know. But it was like what she was saying was that it was the Common Core standards that was the cause of that. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember who you're talking about.
And, you know, that seemed to be the most impassioned plea that I heard from a teacher. But again, you know, that should be par for the course. That should not be anything unusual. That's what teachers do, instruct
mm-hmm.
and inspire. You know, if it's not, you better get out of the profession. If,
mm-hmm.
you know, if
yep.
you're not doing that, whatever curriculum you're using. So,
you're right.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's just a lot to it. Someone likened this Common Core, the whole business about Common Core, to being like the Obama's health care. And Nancy Pelosi said you have to pass it to find out what's in it.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And how many people do you talk with that know anything about Common Core?
Not too many. I mean, everyone that I've asked about, unless they are a teacher or involved with education in some way, they don't know anything about it. And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I'm not going to say his name or how I found this out, but I have a friend who went to a senator's office to tell him why Common Core should be repealed, and he made the statement, well, you're preaching to the choir. But this person kept going and kept presenting her ideas, and then finally, after a while, this senator admitted, he said, well, you know, I don't know much about Common Core. So I think the biggest problem is these legislatures don't know what they're voting on.
Wow. I think you're right. I think you're right. I know that our legislators in our area, in southeast Alabama, do not. Now, that I know. Mm-hmm. And Hunter, we've been working on this down here, well, for a good long time, since it started, really, since it started. And Diana Cruz has been exposing this. Betty Peters on the state school board enlightened us, and Diana and I have been working diligently for a long, long time to try to make it known to people and how dangerous it is. You know, talking about Common Core, you know, the standards are, as several people have said, mediocre at best, but they're not standards of excellence. And in fact, it is a dumbing down. When we first started learning about Common Core, the only justification that was given for Common Core was that it would solve the problem, although it wasn't a problem, but that it would solve any problem that a student would have moving from one section of the country to another or from one school district to another. It would, you know, first of all, that was never a problem. Standards, the state standards could be found out by anyone desiring to know them. And if you were behind or ahead, it would just be a matter of either catch up or, you know, hopefully continue to accelerate. But you know, it wasn't a problem. But that was the justification when we first started. That was the only justification that we heard. And they talked about it being for military people, you know, anything for veterans, you know, will be for conservatives. We support what will be best for veterans. So, of course, they used that argument with military families moved from one section to another. But, again, it was not a problem even to begin with. So, and then the more we found out about the dumbing down, for example, that algebra will no longer be taught in eighth grade but moved to ninth grade, which, as we were told by those who know, that would keep those who are mathematically gifted and skilled from taking pre-calculus, calculus in high school in preparation for college. And, I mean, that is so reprehensible. That is just not even, you know, that's just terrible. And then we also know that on the validation committee for Common Core Standards, there were at least five members of the validation committee that refused to sign the standards because they were so dumbed down and they were so chopped up with huge gaps in the scope and sequence. Well, there was no scope and sequence. Nobody knew what anybody else was doing, and several of those validation committee members stated that they tried and tried to get information about the standards and never were able to do so, that it was, everything was kept in the dark, it was all covered up, and they had no access to information that they should have had as validation committee members. Mm-hmm. So, you know, five of them refused to sign, including Dr. Sandra Skotsky, who was a renowned educator and responsible for the high standards that had been implemented in Massachusetts and Arkansas, other places. So, you know, there's just as you said, it has to be, and you think, I think so too, that our legislators are not that familiar with Common Core, and they have not done their homework to find out, apparently.
Hey, Barbara.
Well, hey, Diana.
Hey, I'm just now getting up. Well, I've got a question, if I may, and really, I'm so glad Hunter is on, because part of our problem, Hunter, as you've seen, is nobody knows about Common Core, and I'm just really very troubled at the fact that Georgia is pulling out of Common Core, and that's our neighbor, and you're not seeing that anywhere in the news, Hunter. And so we really see, I've never seen it more clearer, Ms. Barbara, where our own state news is so biased and so controlled. It's just, for anybody that's hearing me, y'all folks need to take note of that. Why is not this issue that was before our legislature, that Georgia, our neighbor, is really wanting to get out of and named in a wonderful press conference the reasons why they're not getting out? I think we need to be writing our newspapers and asking them why the bias. I'm just really very perturbed. That should be in there right now. That should be primetime news. And it makes me very, very angry at our own state media, Ms. Barbara and Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and I wanted to talk about something real quick. We were talking about the mask standards earlier. Well, I wanted to say, and everyone who's listening needs to know what I'm about to tell them. I got a chance to read some of the literature that would be published in the Common Core curriculum, and I think in the two paragraphs that I read, there were 8 F words, I think 3 pervasive sexual references, and then, they didn't leave a word out. And, I mean, is this what parents want their kids to be reading?
Well, you know, they don't. But, you know, these are the values that we see in Washington in the Obama administration, what you just described. And we all know it. We've seen the slip-ups when the mic was on and they thought the mic was off. I mean, this is how they talk. And this is who they are. And these are the values that they're going to teach our children. And I'm so glad you brought that up, Hunter, because we need to get that out. We need to get that information out. It's criminal what's going to be done to our children. It is criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Diana, what you said about the media not exposing this, not covering it at all, that doesn't surprise me, because they are who they are, and they are biased, they are prejudiced, and they are very much like the Obama administration. Studies have been done, surveys have been done, and it's shown that the vast majority, even into the 90% people in the news media, do not attend church. They're not church. They're not believers. They're not traditional Americans, and so forth. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But an issue of this magnitude, of this importance, you know, other than national sovereignty, the education of our children, you know, nothing can be more important than that, other than national sovereignty. The economy would be up there as well, but we're talking, you know, there is no future. There is no future for a nation, and there is no freedom for a nation. What was that Jefferson quote? If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. You know, this is the future, and an issue of this importance and magnitude, it's just unconscionable that this is not being covered by the media. You know, I agree with you 100%, Diana. And we're trying
It breaks my heart, Ms. Barbara, because as much as you want to support your local media, you know, this is criminal what they're doing to the Alabama citizens, not giving us the truth. At least the least thing they could do is present both sides of the matter, but they're not doing that. And I think that is very much in cahoots with the other side, which we know the truth. When you look at the truth in the light, you know this is a coming down. Georgia states that their seniors are going to be reading seventh grade material. That is the recommended reading for seniors. And they waste the first 2 years in math on nothing. And, you know, and it's awful, too, when you see the proponents of Common Core there in Montgomery. I think one of them was a second grade teacher. And I'm not talking bad about second grade teachers, but where are the senior level teachers talking greatly about it? They're not, because they know it's not good. And that's what Georgia's found out. The reason Georgia's getting out is the teachers have finally spoken up and complained, and the parents have complained because, you know, they love their children more than any association or more than anything. And to me, I'm hoping we're going to learn from that, Ms. Barbara, because sooner or later we're going to catch up with Georgia, and I just hope that one of the lessons we learn out of this is that people like Tommy Vice does not need to be the state superintendent of education. That is very troubling.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, it is. And I was very disturbed with Joe Morton as superintendent of education. And Tommy Vice was mentored by Joe Morton. Another thing, that said this. There were others that said it as well, though. Several that spoke to the fact that that Alabama, what they said was that Alabama had her own standards, that the Common Core that Alabama could write her own standards and have written her own standards, when in fact the truth of the matter is that only 15% of the curriculum and the standards for the curriculum, only 15% is allowed by Common Core for the states to give input. They can have 15% input. And because they're not going to be tested on that. So that 15%, if it's not going to be tested on it, then it won't be taught either, you know. But, I mean, 85% from the national level, dictated by the Department of Education, Arne Duncan, and the Obama administration. You know, we haven't even talked about the fact that a national curriculum and national education is illegal. It's unconstitutional. The Constitution is not one of the enumerated powers that we the people give our government in Washington, D.C. The power for that is the 10th Amendment states. If it's not listed there in the Constitution, the power for that rests with the states and the people respectively. You know, it's not there. It's not there. And why should we allow this usurpation of our power by the Obama administration? We should not.
And Ms. Barbara Hunter, I don't know if you already looked at the ACT. I was looking at the ACT website today. Have you had a chance to look at that, Hunter, and what they're saying about Common Core?
I've not read any statements from them, no. But I do know that their tests will have to be aligned to Common Core, correct?
Right. They have got it on their website now, and I was trying to read through that gobbledygook. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it's just awful. And I'm so grateful for Michelle Malkin, because that's what she calls it, gobbledygook. And, you know, but she sat down and tried to help her child also with the algebra, and it's just crazy math. But I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess we need to really be making those phone calls. We've got till Wednesday calling the Senate committee, and you, folks, you can call 334-242-7800 and just ask for your senator, that you, if you know who it is. If you don't, you just tell the operator what, you know, where you live, and they'll tell you who it is, and they'll pass you on through. You'll be able to leave messages with their secretary. All the senators have a secretary that if you can't get a hold of the senator, you can speak to the secretary and leave a message. We need to be counted. And also, I know on Facebook there is a petition drive going on. It's kind of late started, but, you know, we're just doing all we can. But I think also the power of just really getting through to your, you know, senator is so important. And I'm thinking, no matter what happens Wednesday, this is not the end of the road, folks. We do need to be, you know, just really plaguing them with phone calls. But this is not going to be the end of the road, because too much is at stake. The future of Alabama and really the nation's at stake. But I think the truth kind of went out in the long run, just like in Georgia, Ms. Barbara. You cannot help it. It's just got to come to the top.
Well, I certainly hope and pray so. You know, I came across a quote that's on the Eagle Forum website that speaks to this quite well, I think. And that is, when you are on the wrong road, the right thing to do is to turn around fast. And the faster, the better, I would add. We've got to turn around and turn away from Common Core and turn around and get back with our own education. Well, Diana, we're about to the end of the show. Would you like to give a few closing comments and close us with prayer?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, Hunter, thank you so much. We were just really struck when you spoke up. We need voices from your age group to really, you know, take a stand, and we were just so encouraged to see you do that, because you need to be heard. You know, you're concerned about the future generation, and all of us are. And we pray that, you know, God will help your voice just shine. We are so grateful that you know what's going on. We hope many more will find out what's going on through the things that you have said, and just take encouragement in the fact that, hey, you're able to research it, so can they. You know, it takes a lot of study. It took me a long time, and it's still taking me a lot to study it, because there's so many parts of Common Core. But the greatest thing that I know is nobody has a right to take away the parental input. That's the basis of this nation. You know, when they train children up in the training and admonition of the Lord to read God's word, and that's really why the first school started, was so children could learn how to read, so they can compare the word of God versus what is being, you know, put out there in laws. So we're in a very special place in this world, and we want to keep that light of God's word shining brightly. So thank you for the privilege of having heard you at the state hearing, and we pray that you'll just continue up the good work, Hunter. And for those that are also, you know, if you're in a church and you're just at a loss, we ask that you pray. And we also ask that you share the information with your church on our website, www.cityonhill.tv. Ms. Barbara, our good friend Paige Herring, asked me, Diana, can, you know, I'd like to give out some just simple information. So we did a little flyer. It's at the very front of our website, cityonhill.tv. You'll find a connection, a link to a, really, the podcast has the Georgia getting out of Common Core and their reasons for it, along with the former superintendent of education, Robert Scott from Texas, saying why it was unconstitutional for his state to sign on to Common Core at that time. And then there were some videos of Jane Robbins, who has got the Stop the Common Core video. And also there's just a wonderful teaching from Ms. Donna Garner, an activist education expert from Texas. And she tells us about the two philosophies of education. One, the traditional method, which is 2 + 2 = 4, that, you know, we can really follow and parents can help their children with, versus what we're seeing Common Core, which is an agenda-driven. And that's why the answers are so hard to get to. They're trying to really train that child, I think, in a way to see that there's no absolute. You have to go around the world when, you know, we know there's absolute. But you need to be wary of the two philosophies and then find out which one your state wants. And I would most assuredly think that if you'll follow the traditional method, you'll come out on top of the other, which common store car standards. Nina Darling Hammond, that Ms. Barber has talked about, she's already proven herself. By her fruit, you shall know her. And this woman, who's the author of Cisco and really Common Core, my goodness, her schools in California are failing. They failed in California, so it's been tried before. So, folks, when they tell you about how great this Common Core is, look at the authors of this Common Core mess and know that you don't want it for your state. So we ask people to please be informed. I think because of what the media is leading out, it's so important to be connected. So please go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv. You know, become a part of really our podcast. We've got podcasts with old podcasts with Jim Milgram, Sandra Stotke, Betty Peters, Donna Garner, you name it. We've got all sorts. If you want to get to know the Hard Common Core, you can really look at our library of podcasts and be like us. Just really amazed at the good information out there that unfortunately most parents do not know. So with that in mind, we'll just give this to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for this time, Lord. We're just so grateful that you are almighty and nothing is hard for you. We're grateful for the homeschoolers, Lord. We're grateful for all those in private schools, and we're grateful for all those too in public schools, the teachers, Lord, administrators that are trying to fight the good fight, that, Lord, have a heart for the children, and, Lord, feels that it is a calling from you to educate these children. But, Lord, just as we saw in Texas, even the wonderful teachers in Texas, Lord, were subdued, Lord Heavenly Father, because of the fear of their job, Lord, losing their job. And, Lord, I know that's what's happening with some of the teachers here in Alabama, too, that they feel like they cannot speak out against Common Core. And, Lord, we've only just had it for so many months, so we've not even had it a full year. But, Lord, we just pray for help, that what Georgia has set out is the reason they're getting out, that the whole state of Alabama will hear, in spite of the news media hiding it, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you just help parents who want to find out the truth so that, Lord, they can fight for their children that they love so much, that they work so hard, Lord, for, that they go to all these meetings and baseball games and all those things, extracurricular activities, Lord. They do all those things. But, Lord, they need to know where the enemy hides, and the enemy's hiding behind the Common Core standards. It's going to be a tool, Lord, for indoctrination, and I pray that many more parents will find out. Lord, I just pray that you'll help Hunter's voice to ring out as he learns more and more, that he'll get a chance to speak more and more. And, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for all the people that you're saying to help. You said for us to pray for workers for the harvest, Lord, so we pray that. And, Lord, we ask that you just help us to shine the light of your goodness and your mercy. And, Lord, I just think about that scripture that you said, Lord, it's better to hang a millstone around our neck than to lead these little ones into sin, Lord. And, Lord, we certainly don't want that as a state or as a nation. We certainly don't want that for our teachers or administrator. But, Lord, we're going to have to choose whose side we're on. But, Lord, I just pray that this scripture will weigh heavy on everyone, that they'll realize who they must stand with. And, Lord, may you be given all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. And thank you, Hunter, for being with us today. God bless you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, listeners, we thank you for joining us today. Share this podcast with your family and friends wherever they are in this country, throughout the world. Go to cityonahill.tv, where there are many other podcasts available that will help you become informed, definitely inspire you, and then help you to be involved in the public life of our country and in doing what's right in God's sight. And so listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, and may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.